We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, we're smoothing it out. Shout out to Tony Page. This is from the Tony Page playlist. Some of y'all might remember Tony from doing overnights. Tony's got a playlist in the music here that I'm going to tap into. Nick just got that from one of our engineers. I'm like, all right, run it. I like the vibe, nighttime vibe. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Talking Giants, talking Jets, talking sports in New York on a Wednesday night here as the Knicks play the Dallas Knicks. Knicks are in control. They're up 60-51 right now in the third. Nope, there's a bucket, 62-51. Knicks seem to be holding it down, and hopefully they get a win. And maybe that good energy can travel to Chicago, and the Brooklyn Nets can get a win. Now, I just saw a tweet go out that Chris Milholland put out, Nets beat reporter. He said, Steve Nash doesn't view tonight's game as a statement game, considering the team hasn't won against the Bulls or against one of the top-seeded teams. Nash said, it's a great challenge for us. Now, what did I just say in the last hour? I just said the Nets don't view these regular season games like Nets fans or NBA fans do, right? We're looking at it as the number one seed versus the number two seed, and they're jockeying for position in the East. No. If the head coach comes out and says, it's not a statement game for us, right? I've heard this before. We heard the same thing against the Suns. We heard the same thing against the Warriors, that it's not a statement game. Well, it can't be a statement game for the Nets when you downplay the weight of the game, and then you go and lose the game, and you haven't beat any of the top competition that you faced. It is what it is, but the Nets use these regular season games to figure things out. I don't know if that's Nash's style. I don't know if that's coming from the top of the organization down. But even though the Nets are expected to be this superstar, big three, big bad super team, they're still figuring it out. Last night I watched the Golden State Warriors lose to the Memphis Grizzlies. And on my Twitter, I was like, hey, Nets fans, you should be watching this game. This is the level of competition that the top teams in the NBA play at. The Nets are not on that level yet. And yeah, we know that we have the talent. We know that we have the superstars, and the goal and the dream is to win a championship and bring a parade back to New York. But halfway through this NBA season, the Nets are not there yet. They got a long way to go, it seems, before they're competing with the top teams in this league. And tonight, they'll have another test against a team that beat them twice already in the Chicago Bulls, a team that has another player like Kevin Durant that's jockeying for the MVP position in DeMar DeRozan. And then he's got a cast of players around him, and Vucevic and Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine. And, they've got a bunch of guys playing for Billy Donovan in Chicago their first year together. And they've done very well. They've actually surprised most people in the NBA. They're the number one team in the East. And I would be lying if I told you I'm confident. I'd be lying if I told you I thought the Nets are going to win tonight. I watched both of those games. I'm hoping for a win. But I think to get a win, you need KD to drop 40. You need Kyrie to back him up with 30. You need Harden to not turn the ball over and come back from having a night off and give us a good solid 20. And then the defense has to stop all the weapons of the Bulls, who empty their bench almost every night and they play 10 guys. So we will see very soon. Coming up in an hour, Brooklyn Nets versus Chicago Bulls out there at the United Center. But back to the phones we go. Let's talk to Eli in Washingtonville on the Fan. What's up, Eli?
Hey, Keith, what's going on? Yeah, first thing is, listen, man, you're a little too confident with your Cowboys. Before I get to my Giants.
hey, we're back. Listen, we're hosting playoff games. We're riding high.
Before the Philly game where they benched their stars, you guys were 1-6 against above 500 teams. So let's not get too confident. And the 49ers are pretty tough.
Oh, and we could get beat by the Niners. Don't get me wrong, but I'm feeling a little bit better about our chances this week. So let us enjoy going from 4 wins to the playoffs. Maybe it could happen for you guys, you know? Maybe there's some similarities there.
The Giants, it's time for celebration. Because to tell you the truth, we got rid of two guys that were a cancer to our organization. And listen, this guy, to talk about Judge first, if this guy would have just kept his mouth shut,
yep,
and not said anything. I'm talking about he came from the Bill Belichick tree. And this guy did not represent Belichick at all. Because Belichick never talks.
Right. And never, he gives you nothing.
To the media. And this guy had an 11-minute rant about nothing but garbage.
Yep.
So he put the noose around his neck. That's why I don't really feel sorry for him. You know, it's like, fine, you got dealt a bad team. But, you know, listen, Belichick had Cam Newton and Cam Newton was like a quarterback with no arms.
And he was winning games. I mean, he won game. He got into the playoffs with a rookie this year that multiple teams passed on. There were 3-4 quarterbacks drafted in front of Mac Jones.
Right, yeah. But listen, let's move on forward. The guy that they need to bring in here, stop with the little, you know, the coaching trees and stop with these little, phone calls and getting guys to endorse other guys. Listen, go give a draft pick to the Saints and bring Sean Payton. The guy was part of the Giants organization. Talk to him, give him full control, and bring him to the Giants. And I'm telling you, this team will do a 360. Because he, with the Saints, Jason Tatum is not even a quarterback, you could say. Dude was running tight end. He was playing tight end last year behind Jameis Winston. And he could still win games.
Yeah.
So imagine what he would do with Jones and a couple of offensive weapons that the Giants already have.
I mean, have you heard anything about Sean Payton potentially wanting to come here or leave New Orleans? I know Tiki Barber, our guy Tiki, would love that.
Yeah, listen, it's all a possibility. You know what I'm saying? You just pick up the phone and have to make a phone call. You know, he used to be part of the Giants. You know, he was an offensive coordinator.
Right, and Tiki recently was talking about, you know, his experience with him and the play calling and some other things. I mean, if he wants a reunion, maybe. But I don't know. I don't think I've heard any reports about I heard about him being connected to the Raiders. I don't think I heard anything about him coming to the Giants, but why not? They should be checking on it. The next GM is going to have to check on it.
Listen, if you give him, he said the next place he wants to go to, he wants full control. Hey, give him full control.
Make him the GM and head coach. Let him pick the groceries and cook the dinner.
Hey, you know, Bill does it.
Right, that's what Bill told us. He told us that's how it's got to be done.
Yep.
Yeah, interesting, man. I mean, I love this time right now because Giants fans get to dream. They weren't, you know, you guys weren't having any dreams like this 2 days ago. It was all doom and gloom, but now you can dream of the possibility of the next GM or what coach you're going to get. And most likely you'll be satisfied with whatever you get because it's better than what you had.
Definitely.
Thanks for the call, Eli. Sean Payton, huh? A reunion with Giants, trading a pick for him. I mean, these are the conversations we're going to have here on The Fan. These are the conversations we're going to have as things develop. you know, speculation, hopes, dreams, ideas. Nothing is far-fetched, right? It was far-fetched for Joe Judge to return. And then it seemed further-fetched for Joe Judge to be fired. Anything is possible. Anything can happen. And like I just said, anything is better than what you had. Giants fans should feel great about it, right? Like I said in my open, I saw C-Mac wearing his Giants gear proudly, and I'm like, good. I know that feeling of not wanting to wear your team's apparel, but then you get a little bit of something to celebrate, and now you're back on. And that's how it should be for the whole winter. Like, that's how it should be for the next few months as Giants fans have a clean slate and something to look forward to. Mike in Blauvelt, New York, talk to me. You're on the Fan.
Hi, how are you? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Joe Judge. I know I was talking about the playoff games, too. I heard something cute about that the Patriots' revenge was sending Joe Judge to the Giants for losing the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
That's funny. Also, the Cowboys and the Niners have some epic playoff games, the catch.
Yep.
The Roger, this is before your time, Roger Staubach, an epic comeback in 72. I was 9 then. And they've had some great games. I think this will be another great game. What do you think?
Steve Young, Troy Aikman, that era. Yeah, that era is what birthed my era of Cowboys fans and Niners fans. I was on the playground with a bunch of Niners fans and Cowboys fans.
Yeah, I think you're going to win this game. It's not. Is it going to be easy? No, but I think you will win this game. Being at home is going to help you a lot.
Yeah, I'm afraid because I don't trust Greg Zuerlein, our kicker.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's going to come down to making some kicks. And I also still don't really trust McCarthy's game managing and timeout calling. Like, if it comes down to something like that and it's Kyle Shanahan versus Mike McCarthy, they have the edge. And who's the Niners kicker? Robbie Gould?
Not to put so many points on the board, though, that might not even come down to that. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see.
We'll see. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great – it might be the best game of the week.
Right. One more point. The Patriots, you know – your wife has good taste like in the Patriots. I do, too. But I don't like the way we're playing. I don't like coming. It's a brand-new season, granted, but I do not like losing 3 out of 4. And the only game we won was against Jacksonville, you know, coming into the postseason. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, the first thing I thought when that matchup came back was, okay, we saw that cold, windy game that the Patriots were able to steal in Buffalo.
Yes.
It's not, lightning will not strike twice. It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. But I guarantee the Bills will be prepared. Their fans will be ready for that one. And they know that they have a chance to get to the Super Bowl. They got to get through Bill Belichick and that defense and whatever schemes they come up with.
But you got three. You know, the way I look at it is that, I know you got a rookie in Mac Jones. He's played far above his years, though, I think. But maybe it's showing a little bit now, more say, as the pressure is building.
Yeah, the rookie wall. He's never played this many games in a season in his life. Let's see what he does in crunch time when they need him to make a throw in the playoffs. I put my money on Josh Allen and those guys to get it done before Mac Jones. I think he's going to end up folding.
Yeah. All right. So have a great night, and we'll talk. We'll talk about the games next week. Okay.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Mike. You know, call in. You don't have to just be a Giants fan. This is New York. There's fans of every single team here. How do I know? Because I go to the games, and there's fans represented every time from everywhere. And fans call in. There's Patriots fans that call in. Packers fans, Cowboys fans, Jets fans, Giants fans, obviously, but there's fans of every team around here. We've had callers call in tonight that represent other teams, and it's playoff time. Conversation can't be just around one team when we're going into the NFL playoffs. I think everybody's got some interest in the playoffs. Everyone's trying to think about what's going to happen this weekend for their own gambling purposes, maybe. Legalized gambling happened this weekend. I haven't been on air since that went live. I'm sure some people took L's this weekend. Welcome to the money pit. us in New Jersey, us folks in New Jersey know all about throwing money into FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever it might be, and it never coming back. But that's part of it. It makes it fun for a little while. And who knows? Sometimes, depending on who you ask and where you get your information from, you could win big, come up. I almost put some money on Bama. I'm glad I didn't do that. Georgia handled business. Let's see here. Let's take one more call before the break. Rob in Cape May, New Jersey. I know this guy. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Keith. It's good to hear you back.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah. I was thinking I'd like to see Kyrie come back for the regular season if possible. Basically just for health reasons. I understand that the regular season's not as important. They don't take it as seriously, wins and losses. But especially for Harden, just let Kyrie run the point. And Harden seems to be bumped. He plays so physical. He seems to get hurt a little bit. You know, he's always has his tweaks and stuff. But, yeah, I was just thinking for the rest of the team, physically just to have him back, and it would give them a mental boost too, I think. They mm-hmm. get more used to playing with him too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they're gonna pay the state. I don't think that they're going to put that money up. I just hope that by, like, March, you know, by March, I hope that Kyrie is either in an exemption or the mandate change where he's allowed to play, because we do need to get that continuity together, and we do need to figure a lot out. And when you speak of James Harden, I wanted to mention this. I saw a tweet from Bobby Marks. It was on January 7th. So last week, I forget who we were playing on the 7th, but it was when Harden was out. Oh, was it? I forget. But he said, the Brooklyn offense is running at a snail's pace with Harden at point guard. So Harden wasn't out. He said, if you notice, every possession starts with 15, 16 on the clock because Harden takes the full 8 seconds to cross half court. I think last year, the experiment that, you know, Harden and Kyrie figured out, where Kyrie said, you're the point guard, that worked for last year. Now we need to readjust some things, right? Last year, Harden came in, his first game as a Net, he had 14 assists. It really seemed like he was dialed in last year on how to distribute, how to make decisions, how to spread the ball around. This year, he seems a little more confused. This year, he seems a step slower at times. I think we got to go away from Harden always having the ball in his hands. Maybe Kyrie does that more. Maybe KD. Maybe it runs through KD more. I don't know. But as far as Kyrie playing at home, I think we just got to have him on the road for at least the next couple months and hope for the mandate to change, or I don't know, Kyrie, just go get the shot, bro. Just... You could just end it like that, right? Just go get a shot. Get one, and you're good.
Yeah, anything could change at any time. But, yeah, hopefully by March, just I got my fingers crossed. You know I can't wait to see him.
Of course. And but we're good. I mean, the Nets will be fine. Like, the Nets have Kevin Durant. No matter what, the Nets will be fine. This is a rough stretch. This is a rough patch. And this rough patch is also manufactured from COVID, right? Some of these guys were out with COVID, and that changed the team chemistry. We're still figuring out the schedule. The schedule is different. Like, why did we have to play a game at 12 o'clock on Sunday and then fly to Portland to play a game? That game wasn't regularly, you know, it wasn't on the schedule like that. That game got put there because it was postponed and they moved it to an off day. We're going to get through this little patch where, you know, those games that we missed or the games that got rescheduled for COVID aren't messing up the schedule. We'll figure some things out in this time. And the Nets will get right, and hopefully Kyrie will be allowed to play in Brooklyn by March.
Okay, good. Is Bruce Brown okay? Because I haven't seen him in the rotation.
He's okay, but the rookies are playing now. You haven't seen Paul Millsap play. You know, you're not going to see Javon Carter out there. Like, some's got to give. Some guys got to sit. There's only 5 spots on the court, and now we've discovered that De'Ron Sharpe, Kessler Edwards, David Duke Jr., Cam Thomas, we already knew, but we've discovered that these rookies can give us good minutes and actually give us more help than just good minutes. So I'm not really too worried about Bruce Brown's minutes or Javon Carter. There's just too many guys right now. And offensively, you know, Javon Carter and Bruce Brown don't have that much in their bag offensively. So they kind of hurt us being out there because they can't score.
Okay. Right, and like you said, they're still experimenting. They have so many good players. They're just looking to see who clicks at this point.
Yep.
Will you be on after the game, Keith?
No, because this game's going to start at 10, and then it won't end until after my shift ends. But I'll be back tomorrow. We'll have a game on at 7. I'll be on at halftime with the guys tomorrow, and then I'll be on after the game to talk about that. And then Friday I got a 5-hour show where we'll literally talk about everything from the week that went down.
Okay, nice. I'll be in touch with you then, Keith. Have a good night.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob. And thanks for everyone listening. Let's take another break and we'll be right back. A little Jay-Z on the way in. Thanks for that, Nick. That is the song that I chose for the intro song on my Talking Nets podcast. So anybody that listens to Talking Nets, that sounds familiar to you. The Nets are getting ready to play. The starting lineup is out. And we're about to have the call here. We got James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Kessler Edwards, and Dayron Sharpe in the starting five. Nets fans have been screaming about playing the rookies. Hashtag let the kids play. That was an MLB thing, but now it's a Nets thing, and they're letting the kids play. Kessler Edwards gets the start. Hope he has a good shooting night. And Dayron Sharpe gets the start after having his best game of the year. So come on, Nets. Shock the world. Shouldn't be too big of a shock, though. Like, we're the number two team, playing the number one team. Should be able to compete. Should be able to contend. We're halfway through the season, right? We shall see. Coming up, Chris Carino, Tim Capstraw, Brooklyn Nets Radio, baby. Keep it locked right here for the call out in Chicago. We've got a little bit of time left. I still want to take the calls. I see y'all calling, and I want y'all to get your time on air. Sonny in Malvern, you're on the fan. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
No problem. What you got?
I know I'm in the small, very small minority, but I think the Giants made a big mistake, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Go back to the day Judge was hired, and Mara was gushing over the hiring, said he did an extensive search and found the next Bill Parcells. He said he would be patient with the next coach and give him plenty of time, okay, to build this organization. Plenty of time is not 2 years, okay? Judge came in with a lame duck GM who is god-awful. He came in with a running back who supposedly was touched by the hand of God and could not stay on the field for the last 2 years. He came in with a quarterback, a second-year quarterback who was unproven, was a turnover machine, and he himself could not stay on the field. He came in with a dismantled offensive line that was embarrassing for the last 7 years. He came in with a receiving corps that was dismantled and couldn't stay on the field. He came in with a defense that was decent but not great. And all this, what is he supposed to do? The last 6 games of the season, Mike Glennon and Jake freaking Fromm is their quarterback. I don't care if you had Bill Belichick, Vince Lombardi, or Bill Parcells himself. Nobody could have won more games than Judge. And if they're going on just his press conferences, getting kicked off about what he said, then they made a big mistake. I'm telling you right now. And I don't see any coaches. I don't see no Bill Parcells on that coaching list. None. Okay? If they would have had a great alternative, but guess what? I wouldn't have lost any sleep. You fired Bill Judge. Listen, do what you got to do. But who are you going to replace him with? Nobody knows who. So, big mistake. I really feel strong about this. I think given the right circumstances, Steve, I think he would have made a really, really good coach. But unfortunately, we'll never find out. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think the timing was off. You know, someone's got to fall on the sword, or I don't know what the term is, but like someone's got to be held responsible for it. And it wasn't enough for just Gettleman, because they can't put another GM in here and tell him that Joe Judge is his coach. They got to allow that GM to come in and pick his guy, and then let the wins and losses fall after that. You know, with Judge,
right, don't you think they could have brought a GM in and said, "Listen, do you want to keep Judge?"
No. I think they could have done that if Judge would have kept quiet and if the team fought a little harder. But the way that the Giants went out in this last month, no, it was too far gone. They had to do this. There was no way. There's no GM that would have said, "Yeah, this is the guy I want." The GMs aren't going to come in and say, "Oh, well, no one could have won with Mike Glennon," because that we can't say that. You know, maybe somebody would have been able to prepare the team and have a better game plan and got more out of Mike Glennon. You know, they're not gonna have the next GM come in with pity for Joe Judge.
Yeah, Keith, you know what I'm upset about, though? I mean, and I like Moose and Maggie. I'm not going to say anything negative about them, but they were screaming that it was Jason Garrett's fault. And look what happened when Jason Garrett left. That was
I told
less points after that fact. It was ridiculous blaming on Jason Garrett. Everybody was throwing everybody under the bus when this is an effect that happened long ago. This is a domino effect. Dating back to when they got rid of Eli Manning. They didn't have an offensive line. They put all the money into the defense. I mean, you know, this is 7 years in the making of a giant embarrassment and disaster. So what I would do, if I was John Mara, and I think he listens to social media and the fans too much these days. I think it was 10 years ago he wanted to change coaches. He should give Bill Parcells a $1 million check, fly him in his private jet, and say, how do I fix this organization? That's what he should do.
Yeah, he should consult Bill. I think he should be listening to the fans. It's a fans team. And I would have been shocked if he stayed course with this and not listened to the fans, because it would have been just every week of people calling, people complaining online. And when we got into the next season, it would have been hell, because as soon as you lose one game, everybody would have been screaming about, you kept this coach. It's the same thing as last year. It wasn't good enough last year, and here we go again. I feel like his hand was forced. He seems like a nice guy that doesn't want to fire people, that wants everything to go all good. But when things go all bad, people have to be held accountable. And it wasn't enough just to say, Gettleman, you're out. Joe Judge, the timing of everything, it falls on you. This is your club. They're following behind you. And it seemed like the guys weren't ready to play. It seemed like the Giants were the worst team in the NFL for weeks. And it's unacceptable.
Keith, answer me this. What's the one common denominator in the Giant organization over the last 7 to 10 years?
In the front office?
In the whole organization. The answer, John Mara. Okay, I think that's the problem. How is he? I know he's the owner. You can't fire the owner, but he's the one responsible. Hiring these GMs who are hiring bad coaches. I mean, if you told me 5 years ago the Giants in the next 5 years would have five different coaches, you would have said, "I'm absurd. I belong locked up in the Looney Tune." I mean, this is ridiculous. I blame this on John Mara.
Yeah, and I think he's accepted blame, and I think he's even come out and admitted, hey, I'm not a football guy. I don't know football. And I think these type of things have to happen for the greater good, right? He's got to step back now. You just said he was gushing over Joe Judge. Well, if you're gushing over Joe Judge and you think you found the next Bill Belichick and 2 years later you're firing him, clearly you didn't know what you were looking at and you were wrong. So now maybe he steps back and says, okay, let's find the next GM. He'll find the next head coach, and these guys will make the decisions, and it's going to get us to a better place. He said he's the most embarrassed he's ever been. He said, you know, it just kept getting worse. He said he thought that they hit rock bottom, and then they just kept finding new lows. So if you keep finding new lows, and it's behind the same head coach and the same voice, and you keep doubling down in press conferences, and the team is not responding, it was time to make the call to make the change.
But Keith, don't you think he was dealt a bad deck of cards?
Absolutely. There's a ton of guys that get dealt bad hands, and you know, they figure it out somehow. Like I said, the NFL doesn't pity anyone for losing their quarterback.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm
the Broncos
sorry.
Lost
Mike
Teddy
Lennon.
Bridgewater. Vic Fangio got fired. Sean Payton lost Jameis Winston. He had to roll out there with Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill. You know, like, the NFL does not feel bad for you for getting hurt. It's a rough game. These guys run into each other full speed. You know, you're supposed to have backups ready. You're supposed to have a whole practice squad of guys that could potentially play, and your GM is supposed to pick up the phone and make trades and get other guys in here to help you compete. And it seemed like the Giants were just out, like they were done. Daniel Jones went down, and it was like they didn't have a shot.
Yeah, I blame it. I mean, I was screaming about Mara, but, you know, obviously Gettleman, he's, also the hugest culprit here, too, and they obviously had to get rid of him. But, you know, my last words, a big mistake. I would have kept Judge. I'm sorry. Mike Glennon and Jay Crom, you can't win those quarterbacks. Nobody can. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Sonny. I just disagree. You know, the biggest mistake was letting Gettleman run things into the ground for 4 years. And then having a nice send-off for him, and then there was no way in hell that you could have stuck with Judge. I was relieved. I'm not a fan of the Giants. But when that came across my timeline, I was like, wow, they actually did it. They actually manned up and said, okay, we got to let go of this guy. And this is a change now, right? When you swallow your pride and you say, okay, we're not going to be stuck in our ways. We're not going to stick with this guy just because we said we wanted to see this one through. We need better, and we need it now, and the Giants are on the road to getting better very soon. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. We got a break. I'll come back for a couple minutes, and then it's Brooklyn Nets Radio. Thanks for rocking with me. Let's pay these bills. BRB. Okay, let's get back into it. We got 5 minutes, not even, to take these calls and to wrap this up. Chuck in Stanford, you're on The Fan. What's up, Chuck?
Yo,
you there?
What's up, Keith? Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to be quick. I just got a couple statements, and then I'm going to end with a question. But I wish I could go on and just totally explain how that last caller was so wrong. But this dude, Joe Judge, I'm so encouraged that Mara made this decision because it proves that he's actually taking outside input and doing something that he doesn't want to do. But before you said that he might get some of his money, he's getting all of his money, $20 million. So nobody feel bad.
That's
for him,
already confirmed that he's gonna get paid out the rest of the contract?
Well, that's just how it works in general. Coaches get 100% of their money, unlike players.
Oh, so there you go. It's 100% guaranteed. Don't pity him. Like, the contract that he signed was a 5-year contract. He's getting that cash.
He's going to end up getting $2 million per win. So nobody feel bad for him. He was in so over his head. This dude had the gall to say that Nate Solder was a good football player and was playing good, that points aren't the objective on offense all the time, and all these kind of things. But I just got to take issue with one thing you said. You said that you are more encouraged by Zach Wilson's rookie year than Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones had 28 touchdowns. This dude had 8. But I'm going to end with one question and statement on the Nets. I think you guys are letting Kyrie off real, real, like, soft. I mean, this dude has proved to be drama-filled and selfish. And you don't think that he's selfish? That's all I want to ask. I mean,
no, he's definitely selfish. But, like, he's stuck in his ways, and he's been that way. You know, it's not new. I've always known Kyrie to think outside of the box. And in this case, I don't really look at it as selfish anymore. I just look at it as he stood on what he believed in, and he won, and he's still getting his way. Like, the reason he can do that is because he's all-world basketball. You know, Chauncey Billups comes out and said he's the most skilled point guard of all time, and he knows it.
Yeah, I know, but even last year, he was just missing games and not explaining it.
And they let him because the way that they built this team was with him being a huge part of it. I don't know. It is what it is. I think it's fine. We just got to win games. When we're losing, it's not fine.
Yeah, all right, Keith. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem. All right, Sean in Boonton. You're on The Fan. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, Keith? You know, not to hit on guys' previous points as well, too, because I think that previous caller was really wrong about Joe Judge as well, too. I didn't have a whole lot of confidence in him on a week-to-week basis because I feel like your job as just a head coach in the NFL, regardless of the talent you got, regardless of what injuries you got going on, your job is to get those guys ready to play every single week. And we saw it at other NFL teams that we knew were bad, like the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Even the Raiders have overcome such difficulty this year.
The Lions, yep.
Your job is whoever's standing in there as head coach is to get those guys ready to compete every single week and at least go out on the field and look competitive. We knew Jacksonville was terrible. We knew Houston was terrible. But they're over these last, like, 4 to 6 weeks, they came out and they looked like a competitive football team. I never got that sense from the Giants in 1 second. You know, Joe Judge came out, did his fake macho man, you know, Giants culture, hoorah statements every single week, and nobody was just buying it anymore. So it's time for him to go. The one thing I'll leave you off with is, you know, if you're sitting in John Mara's shoes right now, who are you looking at for potential GMs? And, you know, do you go outside of the box in terms of the head coach and go the college route? Like, we've seen guys like Cliff Kingsbury work out and Sean McVay. Do we go for the younger, sexy head coach and like a Kellen Moore, like a Byron Leftwich? Or do you go with somebody with a lot of personality and energy like a Jim Harbaugh? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, Keith.
No problem, Sean. I think they got to interview everybody that they have lined up for the GM position. And then they got to compare these guys. And then they got to get it down from, I think, what is it, 7 to 3 or 4 guys and narrow it down to who's going to be the best guy. And then once you have that guy, then you figure out the head coach. And I've already said the head coach has to be somebody coming in here with some pedigree that people believe, that doesn't have to sell you on what he's doing or why it's working or, you know, the bravado or the culture, whatever. This is the NFL. Bring a football guy in that has won and that people believe can win here. And then the process starts of getting back to being a winning franchise and organization. That's all I've got tonight, man. The time flies so quick. These radio minutes are 2 times faster than regular minutes, even after 5 days off. So this is Keith McPherson. Thanks for listening. Brooklyn Nets Radio coming up with the call from the Nets Bulls game. I'll be back tomorrow before the game and after the game, and then a 5-hour show Friday.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.